있어주세요.
광고 나우고 나우두고 안담릴레 아미나.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of Radio Harambe, the official podcast of JamboEveryone.com and the unofficial podcast of Disney's Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World. We invite you to visit us at JamboEveryone.com, where you'll find all of our content, including our blog, conservation shop, YouTube channel, yada, yada, yada. On this show, we will talk about news from the Animal Kingdom, also from the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, we are going to take you on a little bit of a tour through the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I am your host, Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe Studios and joining us from somewhere, though he has a good connection once again, is Safari Mike. Mike, how are you?
I make sure I bring excellent technology with me wherever I go. I'm up in the Andes Mountains. We are investigating mountain tapirs. There are only a few hundred left in the wild, so it's important to figure out where they are and how they're doing. People of the Animal Kingdom might remember the Malayan tapir over in the Maharaja Jungle Trek. That's the one type of Asian tapir. There are three different kinds from South America. Interestingly enough, even though they look very different in terms of coloration, their babies always look the same. They look like little watermelons with legs running around in the forest. They do. They look like little brown watermelons.
Explain to the folks what a tapir is if they don't know.
A tapir actually kind of looks like a pig, but it's more closely related to rhinos. It's a big, bulky rainforest animal that has kind of like a long proboscis of a nose that uses, for snorkeling when it's in the water. They're very good in the water, but also to pull off leaves and things like that. They are a vegetation-eating machine.
And also joining us, making the inaugural guest appearance from the wild jungles of Maryland, our travel partner, we'll explain all that later, Jen Green. Jen, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
How is it down there? Is it hot and horrible?
Hot and horrible.
It would be up there from where I am.
Oh, that's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So the three of us are going to go through your local news. Then we're going to, like I said, go through the world news, go a little bit outside of the Animal Kingdom, and then in our final segment, we brought Jen on specifically so we can talk a little bit about the Animal Kingdom Lodge. But first, your local news. And this is something the first story we've talked about quite a bit, certainly on the blog and here a little bit as well. The new garden kiosk has finally opened, making its debut at Disney's Animal Kingdom, I think just this past week. Here is the official description of what this new kiosk is going to offer. It says, here guests can stop and chat about food allergies or intolerances such as gluten or wheat, lactose or dairy, peanuts and tree nuts. That was hard to read. Shellfish, soy, fish, eggs, yada, yada, yada. And while you'll be directed to the best restaurants to accommodate your needs, it's important to still speak with the manager or chef at the restaurant. It also offers some dining options and drinks and stuff. It offers hummus, flavored rice chips, caramel popcorn, a whole array of gluten-free stuff like gluten-free
beer,
but also snacks, I think, and that kind of thing. I think this is generally a positive. The only semi-bad news I would say about it is that for some reason it closes at 3 o'clock, which I guess means they not worried about people going for dinner. I don't know.
Well, I think what it means is that people, you know, probably have decided what they're doing about food by then. You know, they've made their decisions as to what they're going to do. I mean, if you're in the park, it's very few people who show up at the park at 3 o'clock. You know, most people have already been there for a fairly good portion of the day, and if this is a major issue for them, they probably have already visited the garden kiosks. But you know, they just opened it, so I mean, it's sort of they're testing it out. If they find a lot of people complaining about how, hey, you know, I went there at 4 o'clock and it was closed, I'm sure they could mix it up.
Jen, how big of a issue is this for people traveling? What is your perspective on something like this? Like, is this something that, you know, that people be generally positive about? Is this kind of allergies a big issue for people traveling?
I definitely think, especially in Disney, that allergies are a big issue for people traveling with children. You see it all the time at table service restaurants. The chef comes out and helps the guests. I think that having one of these in the parks will help them maneuver quick service a little bit better and have an idea of what they can and can't have. Most people are aware of their allergies, but this sort of makes them more aware. And I think they started it in Animal Kingdom because there's so much more eclectic eating there, with a lot of things that people can't have with food allergies. So I think they're testing it there, and then they're going to move to eventually all four parks probably.
There's a couple of great points in there you made. The one that comes to mind first is how it will enable them to move the counter service along quicker. That's something I never even thought of.
Yeah, like most restaurants, like, so if you have a allergy issues, when you go to a sit-down restaurant, the chef comes out and talks to you.
Yep.
So you get a little bit more of a service there. But with counter services, I don't know if you get that kind of contact with people who are actually making your food. So I think it can only be a good thing.
Excellent.
There is one more bad point about it, though, that you completely missed.
Okay.
From my understanding, this kiosk is the one as you walk out from Dino Land past Flame Tree, you make a right, and there's a little kiosk there. I believe that's the kiosk that is now this, correct?
I think it is.
That's where they sold my jalapeno cheese stuffed pretzels. Son of a...
Hey, easy.
Thankfully, they still sell them in Harambe.
Jen, did you ever have those?
No, I've never had those.
Oh, he waxes poetic over these pretzels. Like,
they're so good, Jen. So good.
I'll have to add it to my next trip.
Speaking of food, there's more news in the food world. And we talk again, you can reference the blog at johnboeveryone.com to get a little more information at this. There's been kind of a food shakeup. This is not unusual for the Animal Kingdom. They do this, you know, every once in a while. And as Jen alluded to before, they have an eclectic offering of food, really, even in their carts and the counter services. And there's been a shakeup of some things. The one that kind of, you know, got in the one part of this that got into the, you know, the ethos, so to speak, was the turkey legs, which used to be offered at a snack cart called Trilobites, just outside the Boneyard, walking on your way to Dino Land. And the turkey legs have been moved to the Flame Tree Barbecue.
Makes sense.
I guess, other than the fact that you don't barbecue them.
They're meat, though.
Oh, so it's the Flame Tree Meat Barbecue. Anyway, they're there. I guess if you want one, you can have one there. And they replaced them at the Trilobites with some really nice-looking dessert things.
Yeah. There was a waffle with strawberries and cream and a apple blossom baked with vanilla ice cream, I think, on top.
Yes.
Some new desserts that, you know, you don't really get anywhere else, which is what I like. I mean, I like different kinds of things.
And in what I believe is a preemptive strike for the incoming Starbucks, they added colossal cinnamon buns to the Kusafari Bakery. That's another big thing. Just so that nobody's complaining that they take away their cinnamon buns. Like
They added quite a few things over to Kusafiri. Because basically, Tamu Tamu used to serve breakfast. It no longer does. I don't know what this tells you about what my life has become. I woke up on whatever morning this was. And, you know, a friend of mine on Twitter works in the food department. She's a part of Harambe. She's in charge of, like, the food and Tamu Tamu and Kusafiri, and she tweets out, oh, you know, excited about the new food items in Animal Kingdom. Well, that occupied the rest of my day, trying to figure out what was coming, what was going. It is really kind of sad, actually. So anyway, so Tamu Tamu was gone in terms of serving breakfast. It used to serve a couple of different things. One was the French toast sticks. That has been moved over to Pizzafari. Another is the flatbread with ham and cheese and eggs, I believe. That's been moved to Cusafiri, which is now serving these colossal cinnamon rolls. It's serving this, I have African spiced cake, which seems rather odd to me, but I really have to try it. It's not what I imagined. It's this cake that has oatmeal topping and cheese stuffed. It's stuffed with cheese, which seems kind of strange, but also kind of interesting. They also have these elephant ears, which apparently are selling out like hotcakes, according to my friend. So,
wait, what's that? Don't gloss over what an elephant ear is. I'm sure they're not lapping off the ears of elephants and
barbecuing them. I can only assume it's something along the lines. You remember the old beaver tails at the Canada Pavilion of basically deep fried dough?
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming it is. I haven't seen a picture of that yet.
Okay.
But you dip it in like dark chocolate sauce, so you can't go wrong there. There was something else too that changed, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. You talked about Restaurantosaurus. That's the other thing.
Oh, there's a couple other things.
Okay, the Restaurantosaurus used to have this veggie subosaurus, which was fairly well received by people who are vegetarians. At least the ones I know, like for example, the hipsters I know like them.
Yeah.
It replaced that with the black bean burger. Why you can't have two vegetarian choices is beyond me. I don't know. It seems
very bizarre.
But those are some of the things. And also, obviously, if you want to talk about it, the Bradley Falls thing.
Well, that was the last thing I was going to say, is that the Bradley Falls snack cart, which was entirely vegetarian.
Correct.
Has closed.
Correct.
And we believe it's temporary.
That's what I've heard.
Okay. But nobody's saying anything otherwise other than that it closed. And right. Now I believe the vegetarian options went somewhere else, right?
Yeah, to Mr. Commel's, which was right across the path, which used to sell the different types of boneless chicken wings that were really good.
Yeah, they were very good. I'm not...
Disappointed.
No. See, you can get your pretzels somewhere else. I can't get those anywhere
else. I know. I agree with you. I don't believe me. I get it. I like that they have a vegetarian kiosk. I think that's a great idea because it has... They got rid of a couple of things that were over there. Summer rolls are now gone, but they have like an Asian noodle bowl that's good. They have edamame that I had. They have what were some of the other things they added? They used to have a fruit salad. They got rid of that. They added a samosas, vegetarian samosas that I want to try. They have a hummus with veggies, and they also have, I think, a falafel sandwich, if my memory serves me.
Does sound right.
I'm not a big falafel fan, to be honest. What are you gonna do? But I'll try the samosas. That sounds good.
Yeah, you know, I'm always impressed with the vegetarian stuff at the Animal Kingdom. I mean, I'm impressed that they do. You know, Jen. I mean, you said eclectic before, but I wonder if that gets into the ethos. You know, it gets into the minds of people who go there that's the place where most of that stuff really is. Outside of, I mean, Epcot is probably the place that has the most options, but this is certainly the second most.
Oh, definitely. I think it might have more food options than Epcot, and as far as quick service goes, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Epcot is mostly sit-downs.
Yep. I definitely think there's a lot more grab-and-go fun choices if you want, like, a funky snack or something like that there.
Certainly the kiosks, the little kiosks that you walk around are much more varied at the Animal Kingdom than I think anywhere else, really.
Yeah, a lot of people just blaze right past them, too.
Well, they kind of mesh with the scenery. They're hard to find.
That's what I like about them. Speaking of meshing with the scenery...
Oh, Lord.
Now, calm down. Don't... See, this is... You don't have to be negative about something until you see it. Here, the next story...
I'm ready to see what it looks like. Go ahead.
The next story is about... Someone who is going to be named Bamboo. See, you guys, it's not an open mind here. Bamboo is a living statue, and Bamboo is going to make her. Do we know if it's a him or her?
I have no idea.
Okay, going to make its debut at the Animal Kingdom this week coming up. It will appear in Africa. And for those of you who have seen the very famous Divine, which is Safari Mike's, you know, one of his bucket list items,
I was going to feed her to the tiger.
Divine. Yeah, it's going to be something along. All we know is it's going to be something along those lines. Another one of these like living statue things. And from the name Bamboo, it doesn't sound to me like it's going to be too much beyond the divine idea.
Right.
I heard somebody on Twitter wonder if there's going to be like a possible battle between the two of them somewhere in between, where, you know, where, because divine is very close to Africa. And
not
and,
anymore. No, no.
Oh, where did she go?
Oasis.
Oh, so now there's a good buffer zone between the two of them now. That's excellent. Anyway, we don't know anything about this one. It's going to come up this week. So when we get pictures, we'll certainly put them on the blog right. for you.
Considering Divine has cheap plastic leaves taped to her body, I can only assume that Bamboo will have cheap wall, you know, wood-looking wallpaper taped to her body.
Jen, where are you on Divine here, Jen?
I'm not sure where I'm at on Divine.
That's a non-committal response.
I don't know. She's kind of creepy. No lie.
Okay. She's not nearly as creepy, and I apologize to all the fans of Divine. She's not nearly as creepy as all the guys standing around her oogling her. Those are the real. That's the real creepy factor.
There is probably something to that. So we'll quickly move on to the next story.
Yes, please.
Which is that for it seems like throughout the month. Animal Kingdom is going to be celebrating cotton top tamarins. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's... Well, let me... Before, I usually get yelled at for not saying the proper terminology for such as this. So we'll turn this over to Mike to tell us what exactly a cotton top tamarin is.
A cotton top tamarin is a eensy-beensy little primate. Tamarins and marmosets are related to monkeys. They are primates. They are found in the northern part of Colombia. They're very restricted range, and they're cute little guys. They're very popular in zoos. I know the Bronx Zoo has a ton of them, and there's actually a couple different places you can see them at the Animal Kingdom. However, they are very endangered in the wild. They're critically endangered. They were used for the medical industry way back in the 60s and 70s, and thousands were captured and, you know, used for various purposes, cosmetic industry, scientific experiments, god-awful things like that. So there are only a few thousand left in the wild. And the range to begin with was very limited. Sort of northern Colombia was this basically their stronghold, and just there's only about 20% of the habitat, or less than that even, left of their historic range. So they are critically endangered, and I believe it's August 15th, like some sort of
holiday in Colombia. Yeah,
that's what they're celebrating this around.
Right. Here's what Disney says about this. If you visit Rafiki's Planet Watch, you can find out about cotton top tamarins, favorite foods, how scientists locate them in the forest, and even how to do the cotton top tamarin dance, which just so that you can participate in the show, if you learn to do this dance, feel free to send a video to at Jumbo Everyone of you doing the cotton top tamarin dance. Other highlights include face painters and caricature artists with designs featuring cotton top tamarins created just for the celebration. And they also have cotton top tamarin cupcakes. I do like the idea of celebrating something with a cupcake. I'm just saying.
They've always had the cotton top tamarin cupcakes, haven't they, over in Kasafiri?
Yeah, yeah. But I like the idea of such a thing.
I'm not a big cupcake fan, so.
Well, you need to fix that. Okay, here's a story that I actually got a... message on this from Jen a couple of days before I had it confirmed it's that the rope drop, what would you call it, a ceremony, I guess.
Yeah.
The rope drop ceremony will no longer take place at the Animal Kingdom. Instead, they're allowing guests to enter the park 15 minutes early, and they're going to have access in those 15 minutes to Kilimanjaro Safaris, Expedition Everest, Triceratops Spin, which is a weird third one to throw out there, and some of the snack carts. And Jen, you were the first one to show me this. I wonder what you think of this idea of removing the rope drop ceremony.
I never really knew there was one in the Animal Kingdom.
There you go.
I don't know. Everybody wants that extra time, I guess. And I mean, if it wasn't a big deal, it wasn't like it was blowing up the Twitterverse or anything. I think that if Rope Drop at Magic Kingdom disappeared, there would be a shoe on your hands.
Yeah.
But I don't think moving it. I mean, it's been gone from Epcot and you know, the studios for a while, and you know, there's nobody picketing out front to bring it back. So I don't really think it's a big deal. I think the only rope drop removal that would really cause an uproar would be the Magic Kingdom, because I think people kind of want that magic moment before they go in. But I don't see anything wrong with arriving early to get on something.
Which is something that they don't do in the two other parks that they took the rope drop away from. So I do think that's cool. But they did have... now, I haven't seen the rope drop ceremony in a little while. And I think they've scaled it back...
They have.
...immensely over the years. Because it used it used to be a big production, you know, where Mickey would be on the Tree of Life and, you know, a whole kind of coordinated show there.
Wave from the Tree of Life, yeah.
Now, if they still were doing that, and then they got rid of it, I guess I would feel a little differently, but they kind of slowly pecked it away. So, go ahead, Mike.
What do they do during extra magic hours in the morning? I'm assuming guests, in non-extra magic hour guests, don't get 15 minutes early of those three attractions, I'm assuming.
No, they won't. It'll just be the same as extra magic hours.
Right, you just show up at 9 o'clock. You'd just be able to get in at 9 o'clock, not 15 minutes early like you do on other days. Okay.
Yeah, because the extra magic guests will already be on everything.
Yeah, all right.
Will they let... Do we know if they're going to let the people who are extra magic hour guests come in 15 minutes early? I mean, people getting in at 7:45 in the morning now?
They might be. That's what they did at the studios.
Okay.
But it wasn't really announced, and they... still do that when it's really busy. I think that really just has to do with Toy Story more than anything.
Right.
But they'll probably just, you know, the turnstiles will just open.
Speaking of running and moving turnstiles, we all know that the big project coming up is Avatar here at the Animal Kingdom. And, how do I put this? First, we thought that there was going to be nothing at D23.
You have to retract your apology.
Hold on. First, we heard that there was going to be nothing at. I said there would be nothing at D23 that of any significance about Avatar. And then 2 days later, Disney announced that they were going to have something about Avatar, only for me to apologize and then find that I had ever thought that, only to find out now that they really had nothing at D23 about Avatar. But I shouldn't say nothing. They had lots of what were obviously film props, and they had an Imagineer who was answering questions, and I think Joe Rohde made a couple of appearances at this thing. Basically, they had an exhibit, and in the exhibit they had stuff that gave you absolutely no idea of what kind of attraction, vehicle, or... anything at all other than like details from the film.
Yeah, they showed you. So what I saw was this poor Imagineer who had to sit there and act like he just got back from Pandora. I don't know if you heard the dialogue.
I absolutely did.
It was just awkward.
It was painful.
So people would ask about it. He's like, he would say things like, oh, we just got back, but we're still researching. We just got back from Pandora. And then he would show, like, these props. It would be, like, a necklace from one of the Na'vi or whatever.
Right.
Absolutely useless. And then they had the computer screen with, like, pictures of Joe Rohde awkwardly computer graphiced in to a picture next to a Na'vi, whatever, making it look like these guys were walking around Pandora. It was so stupid.
Wow.
Everybody's intelligence. It was so stupid.
We already know how you feel about this to begin with.
Well, the whole Star Wars thing was stupid too, and I think
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get.
The only thing I'll say about it is that you know, what this did, at least to me, what this does is put away any idea that it's not going to happen.
Why?
Because there are obvious. I mean, we've obviously gone into a stage in which we're investing time and money into. You know, design ideas. We at least have that.
Yeah, but they've done that before. They had, you know, real plans for Hyperion Wharf, had made contracts with people to put in restaurants there and stuff, and then they backed out of it.
Yeah, but they didn't spend 3 days talking about it in the expo.
Nah.
I just think this is a
step. Well, they had a big presentation about it, but okay. All right, fine.
I think this is a step further. I just think this
I agree.
I think this feels like it's going to happen now. You know,
well, I felt like it was going to happen before this ridiculousness at D23. I mean, I've been convinced now for a little while that Avatar Land was unfortunately actually going to happen. But, you know, nothing at D23, this, you know, patheticness at D23 didn't all of a sudden say, oh man, I guess they're actually going to do Avatar Land. I knew that beforehand, unfortunately. But go ahead.
Jen, am I alone in the world here on this?
On what?
On not Avatar? Like... I'm not being completely negative on Avatar? On Avatar?
No, I'm not a fan. Sorry. I can't. I just... Like, I really wish that it was, like, all a ruse. Like, oh, let's just make everybody mad and talk about Avatar because it's really stupid. And then, like, they'll just, like, lift the veil and it'll be something, like, awesome and amazing. Because...
Yeah, I'm alone.
If they put Avatar in there, then, you know, I don't know.
I'm alone. Okay.
I think it's dumb.
I think Wedway boys agree with you, don't they, Dave?
Let's just move on.
All right.
to the final story, which is kind of Avatar related, but only because Joe Brody was at D23. And there was a lot of, what we'd say, kind of like reports of people. I read one on socialmouse.com where Joe was asked about the Yeti, the famous Disco Yeti. And he is quoted as saying that he will fix it someday. I believe he used the words, I swear.
Yes.
Okay. Then everybody says he backpedaled on that, and there's no specifics as to how he did it. I haven't seen a video of this, but it seems to be a more than one person has seen this. I would imagine Joe Rohde would have given that answer from the minute he found out that it was broken. I mean, so I don't see there's much news here.
But, yeah, no, not really. I mean, it's interesting to note, but, you know, I mean, it's a fun thing to talk about on Twitter for a day, but, you know, whatever. We'll see. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I mean, I think we said this back at the Avatar episode. The one good thing about Avatar, you know, the one positive, or one of the couple of positives, would be they would be able to actually close Expedition Everest for an extended refurb. So,
yeah. Yeah. And we all kind of agree that it would be a very extended refurb.
Right.
So, okay, so that's it for the local news. We're going to take a very short break here and come back with the world news on Radio Harambe. Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida is the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com. Jen can do everything you need done in order to book your next Walt Disney World vacation and have the time of your life. She is an expert in everything Disney and will remove all the stress of booking your trip. And she is as committed to conservation as we are. So every vacation you book, or even every quote you request, means Jen and Destinations in Florida will make a donation to the Jumbo Everyone conservation effort. You can contact Jen directly by emailing her at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com or by calling her directly at 443-424-0181. You can also head over to jomboeveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon to get your vacation started. Seriously, what can be better than booking a Disney World vacation while helping to save wildlife? Welcome back to Radio Harambe. I am your host, Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe studios. Joining me today is Safari Mike.
Dumbo.
And our own travel partner, Jen Green. How are you?
Good.
Mike, world news time. Take it away.
All right. Real quick. Not too much happened, which is shocking considering D23 happened this past weekend. But we'll get to that in a second. Number one, probably maybe the most beloved restaurant in all of Disney World, Captain Jack's, which I think gets the lowest rating. If you look at anything that rates restaurants at Disney World, this always comes in last, I'm pretty sure. It closed forever as part of the refurb there at Disney Springs.
This is one of those, if a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it kind of thing. Like, will anybody actually notice? If they didn't listen to this podcast, would anybody really notice that that's not there anymore?
I don't think I've ever eaten there, to be honest.
Jen, have you ever eaten there?
I've never eaten there, and I've never had a guest ask me to go there.
I've been in it once, but I didn't
eat
there.
No,
yeah. Did you have to go to the bathroom or something?
I went. I think I had a drink.
Number two, shall we move along?
Yeah, but let me just say this one thing. The thing about that location is it was such a cool location, and they really blew that one. Because, it's out on a pier, on the water. I mean, it could have been great. Anyway, move along.
It could have been, and maybe it will be once Disney Springs is all done. Anyway.
They're going to plow it over and probably put a McDonald's in there. Anyway, go ahead.
I am no golfer. I've never set foot on a golf course in my life. But however, Disney's Osprey Ridge golf course closed yesterday, and it's closing permanently and apparently becoming part of the Four Seasons Resort, which is opening, I guess, in about a year, Jen. Is that true?
Give or take, yeah.
All right, so.
Should be.
Golfers.
So Jen, explain it just a little bit. So we're now golfers who come and are part and doing the kind of golf thing at Disney World are essentially losing a course here, or what's happening?
They're losing a course. They're only going to be able to golf at the Magnolia and Palm now. So unless they want to go off property somewhere, but just the Magnolia and the Palm are going to be on property. So they are losing a course.
Do you get a lot of people looking to use those golf courses, Jen?
Not really. They just kind of. I think the golfers just go and book their own stuff. No one's calling me to book like an exclusive Disney golf vacation or anything.
They used to push that a little bit more than they have in the last few years. I used to see golf as a marketed on property a little bit more than they have recently. I don't know why, but they have.
You used to see those videos and stuff. Yeah.
They do like 2-for-1 now and stuff like that. But again, it's not really like you kind of have to dig for it in featured offers. So unless somebody's, unless you're trying to sell them on that, then they're not really going to care. Most people don't golf.
Good point.
I think just my husband does. Disney.
What's next?
Well, D23 happened this weekend, and you could hear crickets going with all the news coming out of the parks. So let's talk about one thing, though. We've all heard the rumors that Imagination Pavilion is going down for a major refurb and will be shut down for a while starting January. Well, Dreamfinder and Figment did meet and greets at D23, so maybe this is a good sign that Dreamfinder will come back, Figment will stay, et cetera, et cetera.
But they have not confirmed this shutdown, though, right?
They have not. They have not.
So Dreamfinder and Figment just did a random meet and greet. It wasn't associated with the Imagination Pavilion.
Correct. And it had, it might have had something to do with Tony Baxter getting declared a legend and all that kind of stuff, since he was so integral and part of it in the Imagination Pavilion.
Okay. So maybe somebody is going to do something. Finally fixed this. Hey, listen, it'll be the first step in many that needs to come to restore Epcot's future world to something that has a theme and a cohesive structure. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. D23, Iger said Figment's not going anywhere.
That's true. I did see that too. I think Jen might have told me that.
Yeah, he very clearly said he's not going anywhere. So
that's good.
I wouldn't be sad. I mean, Captain EO can go, but don't take away Figment.
I said this, a few times on Twitter, and I think people generally agree. They could leave the ride the way it is. They could leave the ride the way it is, but if they get rid of EO and put in something interesting in that building, and then reopen the top floor with the playground and the Rainbow Tunnel, the Epcot fan dope boys will be drooling all over themselves.
Yeah, because the ride is not dreadful.
No, it's
like
not.
It was. It's an it's an improvement over what the first fix was.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. There's just so much empty space there, but whatever. Okay.
Finally, D23. I mean, we talked about this on our last episode about all the possible announcements, and for the lack of information you got on Avatar, you got an equally lack of information with regards to Star Wars.
What?
Except for one thing.
Oh, okay. I'm stunned by that. I was right to begin with. Go ahead.
Well, the interesting thing is they had all these crates that allegedly had stuff that was going to go into the new Star Wars exhibit. Well, first of all,
it's probably styrofoam.
They're obviously confirming that there's going to be more Star Wars attractions. That's obvious.
Yeah.
They pretty much said that. But what they called it was this project was Orange Harvest. And I don't know, Dave, do you know what the significance of that is?
No, and it's the first time I'm hearing it, so I didn't have a chance to Google it yet.
Return of the Jedi, when it was being created, and the in secret and like casting it and all that kind of stuff, the project was called Blue Harvest.
Oh, yeah.
They're calling this one Orange Harvest, and people are presupposing that that means whatever it is they're devising is going to Florida. The Florida oranges, you know, the orange bird, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, so they're telling you, I guess, that, you know, whatever secret plans of Star Wars, and they had these blueprints that stuck out. You don't really see anything. You saw there was one piece of paper that said something about a Jedi and a scooter, whatever that, you know, whatever. But, you know, all these secret plans could be a new Star Wars land, but they didn't really tell you anything. Although I suppose that's a little bit more than what they actually told you about Avatar Land, but still.
Yeah. Jen, how much of a bonanza would it be if we opened up a Star Wars land?
It needs to happen. look, I'm not going to lie. I sell other places in Orlando, guys, and they have dragons and castles, too.
What are you talking about? Gatorland? I heard there was a Gatorland there. Jen. Is that what we're talking about?
No, I think... Like, I definitely think something needs to happen that's going to draw, like, a following, not just another attraction. You know, something that... I went to Star Wars weekends and I couldn't move. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I was only there for one day on a Friday. So I can only imagine what Saturday and Sunday bring. So I think that Star Wars, like, has that following. And I just think that it would be a welcome addition to the studios.
Oh, clearly, if you had a whole land that was as immersive, I should say, as whatever that is, the Wizard Boy over in the other studio park.
Wizard Boy.
People would flock in droves. I mean, Star Wars is as big as Harry Potter, easily. I mean, it's bigger.
Oh, definitely.
I think.
I think almost that it's too... I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but I think it's almost that it's so big that it deserves its own entire park. Not just... But having said that... The Hollywood Studios is in such need of something at this point.
They could do so much with the back of the studios.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's not, I mean, empty space and attractions that really don't do well. You know, I don't think they'd be missed.
I agree.
No, nobody would care. If you got rid of the Backlot Tour now, it's not what it used to be by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
and Lights, Motors, Action, they play twice a day. I mean, it's a huge waste of space. You could fit.
And it costs them a ton of money to put that show on.
Right. I mean, it's primed to just bulldoze and put some stuff there. The only problem is you can't do anything with New York Street because that's where they put the Osborne Heights.
Yes. And let's be fair, I mean, to D23 real quickly before we go to break here. D23 was, it sounds to me like it was more about movies than it was about theme parks.
Yeah, but they didn't even really give you that much about movies either, to be honest. First of all, everybody was waiting for a big Star Wars announcement, and they came out and said, sorry, we don't have anything to tell you. I mean, that's what they started off with the show with, the presentation, was, hey, Star Wars is going to be cool in 2015, but I can't really tell you anything about it. Now, let's talk about, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
Let's talk about DVDs you can buy in the next 6 months.
Exactly. It was pathetic. It really was pathetic. There was nothing.
All right, we're going to take another short break and come back with our tour of the Animal Kingdom Lodge on Radio Harambe. Coming back. At the Jumbo Everyone store, you can purchase fun and stylish apparel and merchandise all while helping save wildlife. At Radio Harambe and JumboEveryone.com, we are committed to doing everything we can to help our conservation partners who are on the ground working to keep endangered animals from extinction. So with every purchase made at the store, we will donate 50% of the profits to our partners. You'll find t-shirts, hats, iPad covers, tote bags, and much more. And all the items are customizable to fit your size, taste, and budget. We have great Jumbo Everyone logo merchandise, plus some really exciting animal designs featuring cheetahs, rhinos, gorillas, macaws, and zebras. Go to JumboEveryone.com and click the banner for the store and help us in our conservation efforts.
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. This is episode 5 of Radio Harambe. I'm your host, Dave McBride. Joining me today is Safari Mike and our travel partner, Jen Green. We brought Jen on specifically here to talk about the Animal Kingdom Lodge and go through some of the accommodations and some of the recreation options and things like that that are available at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. But first, let's look back at the history of the lodge a bit. It opened its doors in April 16th of 2001, and it was designed by a guy named Peter Dominic of the Urban Design Group. He also designed the Wilderness Lodge and the Grand Californian at Disneyland. The resort is situated in the far southwest corner of Disney World property, just adjacent from the Animal Kingdom itself. It offers over 900 rooms in the original lodge, what's now called the Jumbo House. In October of 2006, Disney announced that the Animal Kingdom Lodge would soon become part of the Vacation Club by adding villas to the existing lodge and by building a brand new and separate all-villas building called Kidani Village. After a lot of fanfare and a very impressive marketing campaign, I must say, Kidani Village opened its doors in the spring of 2009. Over 300 villas of all varying sizes and amenities, we'll get into that. The Animal Kingdom Lodge was designed based on the incredible national park lodges found all over, specifically East Africa. Check out these bucket list style lodges found specifically in Amboseli National Park in Kenya and also the Serengeti Sopa Lodge in Tanzania. Those two in particular are ones that I did a quick Google search on, and you could really see the thread there between them. Disney's version truly captures the spirit of those places, terrific artistic and cultural elements throughout the property. But the real stars of the show are the animals. The lodge offers 4 open savannas, which are home to a population of over 200 species of birds and mammals. These savannas can be viewed by guests from their own balconies or a number of really beautifully themed viewing areas dotted throughout the resort. The Animal Kingdom Lodge, including the Jumbo House and Kidani Village, offers an amazing selection of accommodations, recreation options, restaurants, all sorts of stuff. And the spirit of Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge also really sets the standard within Disney resorts with regards to details and themes. In this show, we're going to focus specifically a little bit more later on the resort options, the room options, and the amenities. But we just wanted to go quickly through the layout of the places. Jumbo House is what was originally called the Animal Kingdom Lodge before Kidani Village opened. It is the big, impressive building. It has a gigantic main lobby that you enter in and check in, and there's also a view of the savannah straight in front of you through a huge glass structure there. It has the main gift shop. But before we go into the gift shop, let's stop in the lobby for a bit. I've been in every Disney resort so far that they've built, and none put my jaw to the ground like this one. It really is an impressive place. I'm sure you guys agree in some of it, but let's talk about the lobby quickly for a bit, Mike.
Okay.
Dotted throughout, and Jen, to pop in here too, dotted throughout the resort, throughout the lobby are a lot of artistic elements and stuff that I believe they've brought back straight from Africa, certainly throughout the entire thing, throughout the entire lobby. There's also access there to the restaurants and stuff in the gift shop. I know, Mike, this is a gift shop you're a particular fan of.
Yeah, Zawadi Marketplaces, I think. It might be one of my favorite gift shops in all of Disney World, and might be the best one, except maybe for the one in the Polynesian, which is also really good. This name escapes me.
Yeah.
But those two are my top favorite resort gift shops. They have a lot of Animal Kingdom Lodge specific items, which makes it a fun place to browse, and I usually buy something.
Me too. the main house, the Jumbo House, is also home to 2 sit-down restaurants, Boma, which is a buffet, and Jiko, which is what we would call a signature dining place, and considered by many to be one of the, if not the best, restaurant on property.
It's my favorite restaurant on property.
Jen, have you ever been to Jiko?
I have not been to Jiko yet.
I haven't either. Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird because you spend a lot of time there.
I just have never, I don't know why. I've been to Boma a bunch of times. I've certainly been to every place else over there. But I have yet to eat in Jiko. I think we're going to remedy that this year.
Yeah, Jiko is, I would say Jiko is the best restaurant in Disney World.
Yeah, That's what,
well, at least that I've never been. I mean, there's a few signatures that I've never been to, like Citrico's or Victoria and Albert's, but for what I've been to, that's my favorite on property.
There's also a counter service place called the Mara, and there's also a great bar called Victoria Falls, which is situated just on top of where the restaurants are. It's hard to kind of explain that. Also, yeah, go ahead.
By the way, I think the Mara might be the best counter service restaurant in any Disney resort. I don't know if Jen agrees or you agree, Dave, but they're the variety there. They have the soups from Boma. They have the zebra domes, which I know Dave's a big fan of. You know, I think it's a terrific counter service restaurant.
I think it's good for what it offers, but Jen, you would know better than I. There are other ones that offer a lot bigger variety, though, aren't there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's good for what it offers. Variety is not, is not its strong suit when compared to, you know, a couple of the other places. But the food is phenomenal.
It does not have, I mean, it doesn't, it's not the size of some of the other resorts. All they have is counter service, like the Art of Animation
has
a very elaborate counter service for restaurants. So that is true. You know, those are obviously more varied, but that's all they got.
But the only reason why I say that is just to kind of clarify that it is kind of a single room, you know, it's not a food court.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
It's a typical counter service. And of the other resorts where like Captain Cook's or the, you know, the one in Grand Floridian or the Contempo Cafe, I think it's better than all of those.
Right. Also in Kidani Village, while we're talking about lobbies, it's the lobby of the Kidani Village is separate. The two buildings are completely separate of each other. You have to park separately as well if you've never been there before. Kidani Village is a much smaller lobby, but in my opinion, not any less beautiful. I mean, it may not have the breathtaking moment of seeing it the first time that that Jumbo House does, but there, to me, there is an intimacy in that lobby that I really love. And there are some like little spots, a couple of small lookout spots in the Savannah that I adore.
Kidani, to me, I think you hit it on the head. It is much more intimate, much more quiet, quaint, more homey feel, which I guess goes hand in hand with it being a DVC resort. And that little libraries or whatever you call it, side room.
Oh, great room.
With a fireplace that, yep, you know, tends to be pretty quiet. It has like a little outlook too on the Savannah. It's just a great spot. It's just a great spot to go and hang out. I love it. I prefer Kidani over Jumbo in terms of its feel. I mean, there are some other issues where Jumbo is better than Kidani, but in terms of its look and its intimacy, I prefer Kidani.
It also offers a gift shop, much smaller, called Johari Treasures. Doesn't have anywhere near the selection of stuff that the one in Jumbo House does. It's really kind of a sort of a convenience store mostly for people staying there.
Right, for the DVC crowd.
For the DVC crowd, yeah. It also boasts one bar restaurant, no counter service at Kidani Village, but it has a very good restaurant. And an equally as good bar. In fact, I like the bar better than the Victoria Falls. The at Sanaa. It's a, what would you call it? An Indian African fusion.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. It's
probably
a little bit more Indian than African. A lot more curries, tandoori, and that kind of stuff. It is. If Jiko is my favorite restaurant in Disney World, this is probably number two. I love Sanaa. The bread service there is absolutely to die for. And you're right about the bar. And it's just a pretty restaurant. It has like these lamps over the tables are all designed like weaver bird nests. And you just overlook, unlike any of the restaurants at the Jumbo House, you actually look out onto the Savannah here at Sanaa, which is an added bonus.
Yeah, that is a great, great bonus. And the thing about it is that even if you're like me or a guy who comes in and wants to have a drink after a long day of schlepping around the parks, they light the Savannah as well. So you can still see the animals at night. And it's a very, low ceiling kind of place. It's not a big open air hotel bar of any kind. It's just a real comfy place to hang in. Sanaa is just a great joint. I mean, people should go there. or you're missing out. We mentioned the library, we mentioned the lookouts, but let's talk about the savannas real quickly. There are four savannas encompassing the entire property of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. There is the Arusha, I think is how you say that, the Arusha Savannah, which is the main Jumbo House Savannah. When you come in the door and you look straight ahead, that's the Arusha Savannah.
Right. And that has a giraffe like most of them do. It has wildebeest. It has roan antelopes, which I like. It has tommies. It has all the, you know, those are just some of the animals that you see there.
There's also a Jumbo House kind of has like an annex savannah called the Uzima.
Correct. Correct. Uzima, that is correct. And there, that is where you have the overlook for the night vision goggles. It's over out by the pool. You know, and they have very similar, you know, they have giraffes there too, and, you know, stuff like that.
The main village, the main savannah for Kidani Village is called the Sunset Savannah. It can also be viewed from some of the back rooms of the Jumbo House itself.
Correct.
And you could see the Jumbo House, those kind of back rooms from the Kidani Village lobby. That's called the Sunset Savannah. And also, the animals there are typical of the same, pretty much the same as the Arusha, right. Are they?
Well, you have giraffe like you have in most of them. I think all of them, except for the last one that we'll talk about, have giraffe. There is ostriches. This is the one that has the Ankole cattle.
Zebras.
They have zebra. They have African crown cranes. So it's a, you know, an open and lovely savanna.
And finally, there's a kind of a small annex, again, savanna, that can only be seen on one wing of Kidani Village, and it's called the Pembe Savannah.
Right, and it's also right by where, so you can by the pool bar, you can go over there and sit by, and that's one of my things I like to do over at the pool bar next to the Kidani pool is at the Maji, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yes.
That's where you see the okapi. That's where you see red river hogs. It's a more of an unusual group of animals. There's okapi, there's red river hogs, there's water buck, there's beautiful blue cranes, the national bird of South Africa. There's vultures, you know, even a different group of animals over there than you get pretty much all the other ones that are more, they share a lot of the other species on the other savannas.
And what I like about that savanna, it's obviously designed for the people in the rooms because seeing it from, it doesn't have a big expansive overlook area like some of the, like the other two have, you know what I mean? So it's really there for, you can see it, and there is a spot where you can walk up and take some pictures, but it goes way back, and it's big, and it's really designed, I think, for the folks staying on that little wing of the...
Right. It's not too deep, but it wraps around the ring, the wing, so that, you know, there are plenty of animals to see. And they kind of take stuff off and on. Like, I know the Red River Hogs are only there at certain times of the day. Right. Same thing with the Okapis. They move the animals back and forth off exhibit and on exhibit. I know there's also a group of tommies that are sometimes there. I think those are the tommies that were once on the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Yeah. I believe you're right. Let's go into the recreation options.
Sure.
A bit, all right? So now we're going to get into the meat of what we have here. That's kind of we got the layout of what we're looking at here at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now let's get into what the actual place itself offers. First of all, let me start off by saying that this, to me, is a resort that I would happily go to without park tickets.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like a resort that you would get that's a separate and apart from theme parks. You know, like, I mean, not that you ever get an Animal Kingdom Lodge in the Catskills, for example, but it has so many little activities and things like that that no other resort on Disney World property comes anywhere near close to offering.
Jen, would you agree with that as far as what they offer there and compared to the other ones?
I would. They have a lot of little things. I mean, like, no one else is going to have night vision goggles to look at animals. You know, they have one of the few kids clubs. So they definitely offer a lot more than most deluxes offer.
Now I just want to quickly go through some of the recreation things. She mentioned a few of them right there. But we'll start with the pool, because pools are a big thing with resorts. How would you guys rank the Azima pool, which is the main pool at the Jumbo House, compared to other pools in resorts?
You can go with that one, Jen, if you want.
I think it's a great pool. It seems most people, when booking a Disney trip, want a water slide for whatever reason. So, it comes with that. I think that, as with everything with Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's just the scenery around you. You can walk away from the pool and turn around and there's flamingos behind you. I mean, you're not gonna get that anywhere else. Yeah. The zero entry is great for little kids, and not every pool has zero entry. I just think it's just a really, really great pool. It has two spas, a little kid's pool, a zero entry pool, a water slide. I mean, you can't really ask for much more when you're staying in a deluxe resort than, you know, all of those. And it's a huge pool. It really is big.
Yeah. Now, Mike, if you're staying at Kidani, can you use Azima?
I believe you can, yeah. I believe you can. I know there's some restrictions on various pools, but as far as I know, you can go over to Jumbo House and use their pool. Having said that, Kidani has a great pool in and of itself, especially if you have little kids, because it has the little Azima Springs that has, it's almost like a little water park for kids, different... You know, spray fountains and this little structure that dumps water on kids and
the Wanja, all that. Wanja camp is what it's called.
That's it. Thank you. And they, you know, little sprouts of water coming at you when you're not least expected. For little kids, love it. So if you have a child that's, you know, under the age of 8 or something like that, Kidani is probably the better pool, I think.
And it's a smaller pool, but appropriately so, because I think Kidani Village has maybe like a third of the rooms, or I believe, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's even though it's a big place, it doesn't have the occupancy as Jumbo House does. Correct, Jen?
No, it doesn't. I want to say Jumbo House has 970 rooms, give or take, and Kidani has maybe 300.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 300 or 400 range.
Yeah, it's not big at all.
It's smaller. It's a beautiful pool. And each place has fitness centers. Both of them have that as well. That's kind of par for the course now. They both have pool bars. They both happen to be really good pool bars, for those of you who enjoy a good pool bar. There's tennis and basketball courts. There are definitely tennis courts. The basketball courts, yes, are still there. I'm trying to think if there's another resort that has them.
That has
tennis courts on resort property in another resort?
I'm pretty sure there are ones at Grand Floridian, I thought.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Yep.
The Grand, and I think there's one at Bay Lake Tower now back there. I know they have shuffleboard back there.
Yeah, and you know where there's one? There's one, that I'm thinking about it, there's one boardwalk on the way. Yeah. If you walk down towards MGM, there's one hanging around back there.
Yeah.
Did you just say MGM?
We met the studios.
I did just say MGM. is that not appropriate?
No, that's fine. That's fine. I still call it Countdown to Extinction. So
so do I. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention is two things to do with kids. One is, and Jen mentioned it, it's called Simba's Clubhouse, which is a like a kid's, it's almost like a daycare service, isn't it?
It is a daycare service. You pay by the hour. It's $11 an hour per child. And dinner and snack are included in that.
Wow.
So you can go out to Jico or, you know, somewhere. If you want to even leave property, you can leave property and go somewhere else and have a date night. And it starts at 4:30 p.m. and it ends at midnight. And your kids stay on property. They do arts and crafts. They watch movies. They play video games. They have dinner. And they're supervised the whole time by the staff from Kids Night Out. So it's a really great option.
And they also have, I find the kids love this, is the fire pits, Mike. I know your kids do.
Yeah, the fire pits are cool. And they have, sometimes they tell stories around the fire. I know they did that at Jumbo House for a while. But they have, they have other things too. They have the community hall at the Kidani House. What you have to do is you have to go to the lobby at either one of these places and look at the board. and the board will give you different things that they're doing that day. There may be animal tracking thing. There is almost always some arts and craft event, either at the Ozima Pool in Jumbo House or at the Community Hall in Kidani. I've seen things like cookie decorating at the Boma restaurant in the middle of the afternoon, face painting at different, you know, at the Mara or, in, you know, at Kidani Village. They're always doing little things like that, African games and things like that, that for the kids, you know, at the various places. Almost all the, they're almost always in the middle of the afternoon, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's usually break time for most families with smaller kids. You know, they do the morning, then the break, and then the evening. So check that out if you're staying at either Kidani or Jumbo House.
You know, it always, it feels to me when I stay here almost like a cruise. Like, because if you've ever been on a cruise, if you haven't been on a cruise, you get like a little flyer under your door in the morning that tells you all the activities that are there for the day. Because the kind of stuff that they do at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Mike mentioned some of the things for kids, but there's more than that. There's there's like animal enrichment stuff. There is, Jen mentioned the night vision goggles that you see it. You go down to, is it just at Kidani or they do it at Jumbo too? I think they do it at both, right?
They do it, typically they do it at Kidani. They do it right out front of Sanaa. On the area there by the fire pit. At Jumbo House, they do it away from the lobby. It's actually over by the pool at the Ozima Lookout, where they typically do it, although sometimes on occasion, maybe with bad weather or whatever, they will do it actually in the lobby on that little lookout off the savannah itself at Jumbo House. So there's a couple different spots where they actually do it at night.
And I know they do like wine tasting. I've seen that on the
Jico does that. Yeah. Jico does that. It's usually like once a month or so. Perhaps they'll do like not once a month.
Once a week.
Excuse me. Yeah, once a week. The last I saw it was on Wednesdays, where they do a little wine tasting, and the cost I think is like $25. I want to say.
Nothing for Disney wine stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you get to taste South African wines for it's about an hour. You know, and it's an interesting thing. I know what they do once a month is they, or maybe even less than that, they do a special Jika wine dinner that's usually rather pricey in the, you know, maybe up to, you know, well over $100. And you get like a very special dinner and wine kind of thing. They do that too.
Anything like, any of these things stand out for you, Jen?
I think it's all incredible. Honestly, I don't think there's one thing that's any better than the other. You can go as a couple, you can go as a family. I think a lot of people kind of think Animal Kingdom Lodge, they think more adult. I don't think they realize how kid-friendly it is.
It's probably true.
They have the playground overlooks the flamingos in the savannah. I mean, you're not going to find that at any other resort that where your kids can play on a playground and look at animals.
Right.
So, I mean, they have an arcade. It's open 24 hours. So there's a lot that they offer that other resorts don't offer.
And the other thing that sticks out in my mind is one thing that they offer that other resorts don't are tours, guided tours. Not just, there are some free ones like where they'll have somebody talk to you about the artwork that's there and the design of the place and stuff like that. But there's also ones that are like safaris. They have famously the Sunrise Safari.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Wanyama, which is okay. The Sunrise Safari. That obviously you know what that is. you could tell from the name.
Yeah, but I believe correct me if I'm wrong. But the Sunrise Safari, I believe, is of Kilimanjaro Safaris. Is it not?
Yes.
And it's also only available to Animal Kingdom Lodge concierge guests, I believe.
I think you're right. Then there's the Wanyama, which takes you through the savannas of the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right, and combines it with a special dinner at Jico, if my memory serves.
Yes, and one that I can't get confirmation they're still doing because for some reason I can't find it anywhere. I was just looking today, but it was happening when I was there last, was this nighttime one at Kidani Village.
Which was relatively new.
Jen, do you know if they're still doing that?
I haven't heard of it in a while. I called and asked in February, and they didn't know if it was on the schedule or not. They just said that a guest needed to check when they checked in.
Yeah, that's the answer I got.
Like the schedule of events. So I don't know if it's just random or you know, if you're there, you're there kind of thing. I'm not sure what it is.
I remember when I was there actually seeing it, because it's a very basic thing. I mean, you get obviously you're getting a couple of night vision goggles. They put you in the back of a truck. They take you through so that you're within arm's reach of the animals that are on the safari or on the savannah. They go very slowly through it, so you're really stopping. I mean, they were right below my room when I was there last time, and you could hear them talking. There's somebody on there kind of getting very specific about the animals. It's a nighttime one, so, and I think it was age restricted. So it seemed, very kind of adult-oriented.
It might even be a concierge thing now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I want to do it. I couldn't book a space when I was there last time. Because they wouldn't tell me until I was there. It was very strange. But so look into that one, because that could be a cool little side distraction for you while you're there. Now let's get into the accommodations.
But before you do that,
sure.
Did you ever do the Sanaa tour?
Yeah,
I mean, those are interesting too. I mean, where they take you on a tour of the restaurants themselves, sort of, show you some of the design and some of the artifacts that go into those restaurants, and then actually give you a sampling of some of the food. I know they do it at Boma/Jiko over in Jumbo, and they do one at Sanaa too.
I did a cultural safari thing where somebody from one of the and this is something you could do every time, because it's always somebody who's different. You know, one day you're getting somebody from South Africa, the next day you're getting somebody from Uganda or Tanzania or wherever they may be from, and they'll talk to you not only about the some of the artifacts from their country that are there in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. They'll also talk a lot about their country. There's also one that I remember, and I believe it was free. It's short. It's maybe an hour long, but it was called something like Disney Designed, African Inspired, and it was really just them showing you the design elements put into the Animal Kingdom Lodge. This was at Kidani Village specifically. I don't know if they do it at Jumbo House as well. I'm sure they do, but I saw that one. So those kind of things they have there are. It's surprising how many of them there really are, because there's a whole day's worth of the schedule.
And they're all free for the most part. We mentioned some of the ones that cost money, but like those culinary tours, those, you know, all those little activities for kids and stuff like that are all free.
You can also do a tour of the artwork. There's over 400 pieces of African art between Kidani and Jumbo, and it's the largest collection of African art in the United States.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's impressive. There's a lot of beads going on there too for kids. I remember that. I remember beads everywhere. One day I was home. We were in the resort kind of for most of the afternoon. One time we were there, Mike, remember when it was really cold?
Mm-hmm.
All of us were down there. It was freezing cold. And my wife and I decided we're not going into the park today. We're just going to spend the day at the resort. And that's what we did, kind of going on these things. And I just remember it, like, every time you saw a bunch of kids together, there were beans involved. Anyway, let's move on to the accommodations. Jumbo House has what you would call standard hotel-style rooms. And the standard rooms are, there's three choices, right, Jen? There's two queens, one king, and a queen and bunk beds.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about whether or not, I mean, you said the bunks are a little bit more expensive.
The bunks are a little bit more expensive because it's considered a specialty room. No matter what resort you're at, if you're not in a standard room, you know, the next one up is a specialty room. If you're not in just the two queens or two doubles. Some of the rooms actually have a day bed, but not all of them. So that's not really an option to choose from. But the bunks are great because they give you a little more space, a little more living space than two queens.
Yeah. And I would think the view through your window from the top bunk has got to be cool.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me climb up there. When we the room was all set for guests, but I wanted to. I really did.
And there's also, like, the other way you differentiate the rooms is not only that, but you differentiate them through the view, which is something that is really throughout all of Disney resorts.
Yes.
But the view really does matter here as much as it matters anywhere else. You have a standard view, which I'm assuming means parking lot.
I tell guests parking lot or dumpster. You just never know. Just looking at an air conditioning unit, you really don't know.
So standard is a good word because that's usually what you get in hotels.
Yeah, I mean it's $400 a night quality in view. Sure.
a pool view, which speaks for itself.
Right.
And then there's savanna views, and I believe there's a differential between, at least a Jumbo House, between the main savanna and the annex savannas.
There is.
In price as well, right?
Yes. You have to choose the savanna you want as well as the type of room you want. So it's a lot of variety when it comes to choosing your room with Animal Kingdom, unlike most where it's, lagoon view, pool view, standard view, that's sort of the way it's broken down at all the other resorts. Here you can choose from a couple of different views and different savannas, and they all have different price tags.
Can you give us, without quoting room prices, can you give us an idea of the difference in, maybe a per night differential between a standard and a pool and that kind of thing?
A standard and a pool are probably about $30 difference a night. This would be during value season on a Saturday. Saturday is always the most expensive night of the week in Disney.
Right.
And then value season, just to give an idea of what they charge. The Savannah view is about $65 more a night. And again, everyone knows Disney's prices change depending on the season. But that's usually give or take. It's going to be between 30 and 40 between standard and pool. And then pool and Savannah is going to be between 65 and 100.
Okay. And as far as just so we can get this out of the way, when you talk about different seasons and prices in the seasons, you're saying what you're referring to is it's more expensive in Christmas than it is in October, correct?
Definitely. Yes. Yep.
Okay. And finally, we have, before we go on from there, let's compare those prices. How does Animal Kingdom Lodge fit in the pantheon of Disney resorts as far as its price? It's listed as a deluxe, but there are much more expensive deluxe resorts than this one, correct?
Yes. I would say it's probably the second cheapest deluxe resort. Even if you have a Savannah view, the Savannah view at Animal Kingdom is going to be comparable to a standard view at, say, the Epcot area resorts.
Oh, okay.
So, you can get animals out your window every morning, or you can get a parking lot. But for the same price. If you're, comparing apples to apples, that's what you're going to get.
Right.
And then as you get closer to the monorail, it just keeps going up and up and up. Okay. So definitely, it's definitely a good value, I think, for a deluxe.
And you have also, they have what is referred to as the, I think it's still referred to as the Kilimanjaro Club. It's the concierge level, correct?
Yep, they do.
And they are the upper floors, I believe. They're the top couple of floors of Jumbo House.
Yes, they are.
And they have all, you can get any size room with them as well. There's also suites available up there, probably a very limited amount, right?
Yes, very limited. I think it's 200 suites, maybe?
And then there are, a couple of, presidential suites. I think one is called the Royal Asante Presidential Suite or something like that.
Yeah, you can't even book those. They're, non-existent. They're existent, but they're non-existent for, regular everyday guests.
Have you ever been in one?
I have not.
No, I've only seen one picture of the Asante one.
Yeah, I have not been in them. Disney likes to keep those suites kind of quiet.
I know they do. I know they do.
They have no problem showing you club level. They have no problem showing you three-bedroom villas. But the special celebrity-esque suites are kind of quiet.
And what other benefits do you get out of the club level stuff?
You get free turndown, free refreshments from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, which is usually drinks, snacks, all kinds of stuff. I often tell people don't do the Disney dining plan if you're staying club level, because you will have a lot of food included with your club level. And you can also book the Sunrise Safari and the Wanyama Safari?
Wanyama.
There you go. you can also serve that. You have personalized concierge service and free health club access. So the club level is very exclusive, but if you really want to treat yourself, that's definitely the way to go. You can get a standard room in club level, or you can get all the way up to a 2-bedroom suite in club level.
And let's move over to Kidani Village for the most part. But we're going to get into the next group of accommodations, which are the vacation club style rooms, the mm-hmm. villas, as they call them. There are a few at Jumbo House, and then Kidani Village is entirely made up of them. And basically, for those of you who aren't vacation clubbers, what that means is, for the bigger accommodations, they add a kitchen. In the studio, they add a couple of extra things like coffee makers, and I think there might be a microwave in there, and things like that. And that's for the studio compared to the regular rec rooms, that's the big difference, isn't it, between those two?
Yes. Okay. If you want a little kitchenette, little coffee maker, a microwave, you have a mini fridge and a coffee maker in a standard room, but it's a little bit more in the studio.
Yeah, like a microwave, some cabinets, and they also have kitchen stuff in there, like glasses and tableware and that kind of stuff.
Like a toaster, little things. Yeah. Like you can definitely pack some food or take it down with you.
Yeah, that's what I do. They offer the studios, which we're talking about. Then they also offer a 1-bedroom villas, which basically is like a suite. You have a bedroom separate of the living space. Mm-hmm. The living space also has a pull-out couch in there. Does it also have a day bed? I think it does.
Yes.
Because it's big.
Yeah, it sleeps 5.
Yeah.
So it's a king bed, a queen-size sleep sofa, and a sleeper chair.
Right, right.
Is what they call it, but those things are so comfortable.
Yeah, they pull it. They go out to like a twin-size bed.
Yeah, they do. Yep, they're very comfortable.
Do we also add a much bigger tub?
Yes, much.
Like a ridiculously large tub.
Yes.
And then the two-bedroom villa is basically a suite and a 1-bedroom mashed together.
Yes.
And then they have a limited amount of 3-bedroom grand villas. In the Kidani Village, they're 2 floors, and they're very impressive units. In Jumbo House, they're 1 floor. I know the Kidani Village, we're talking probably in the area of about 21 to 2,300 square feet. So it's a big place. Do they have... Can you stay at concierge level at Kidani Village? Do they offer anything there?
No, there's no club level there.
No.
Okay,
no.
I didn't think so. All right. So, thoughts, guys. Let's talk about what our suggestions would be about the where to stay and what to do. I mean, I'm a Kidani guy. I said it to begin with. I like the quietness of it. I personally would happily stay at a standard view room if I had to, because they offer so many great savanna spots, but there really is nothing better than getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep and just sitting out on your balcony and watching the animals that are still out.
I have a hard time. I would have a hard time staying there without a savanna view. It would be almost, it'd be almost like, go into an ice cream store and being forced just to have like a,
denied ice cream.
Just have like a cookie or something. I mean, when you're there, you want to have the savanna view. I can't imagine not being there, not being on the savanna view. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You can go down that little library that we talked about, but it's just so great just to get up in the morning, sit down on your deck and watch giraffe, watch wildebeest or whatever it is.
Is there, Jen, mm-hmm. are the savannas the ones that really go? I mean, that's the draw, right? That's what people
get. It's definitely the draw. I think if people have been there before and they're on a budget but they love Animal Kingdom, they might go with a standard and not a Savannah every time. But for the most part, if they're set on Animal Kingdom Lodge, they're definitely going all the way and they're going Savannah. And again, it's, you know, cheaper than a standard view at other resorts. So,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, guys, let's throw out some final thoughts here in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've said my piece. Mike, your final thoughts on this place. You're wax poetic, will you?
Oh, boy, put me on the spot. You know what? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say I almost can't stand the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and here's why. It keeps me away from the park. I mean, I love going to the parks. It's like the one hotel that I stay at that I really want to take a day and not go to the parks, but I just can't do it. When I'm down at Disney World, I'm only there for like 6 or 7 days. I have to go to parks. I mean, I'm just not going to spend a day of not going to the parks, but just, I just so regret not just taking a day and enjoying all the little things that they do. I would love a day sitting by the pool, taking a couple of these tours, you know, doing stuff like that. And I just never do it. I never do it because, you know, I'm down there with the parks. I have my annual pass or my 7-day pass or whatever it is. And I feel obligated to at least, you know, go somewhere. Maybe next time I'll skip the studios entirely and spend a day at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
You got to do it because I've done it. I make a point of doing it. This last time I didn't. Certainly the time before I did. This time coming up, which will be going down in not too distant future. It's one of my favorite days. It really is.
I love Kidani too. I mean, I know you know, Jen, I have a question for you. Do you book a lot of people who are not obviously non-DVC at Kidani?
Yes, I do. I have people who call and say they want Kidani. You know, it's considered a deluxe villa. And again, the booking window is a little bit different because it's a DVC. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys can book probably next Christmas right now. I can't book a DVC client that far out right now.
Right.
Because they don't open up that far in advance. But people do actually ask for Kidani in specific. They've done their research and they know where they want to stay. So it's not just DVC guests. I have had Kidani guests that are just regular going for the week.
And Jen, my final thoughts for you, I'm going to tell you what I want you to talk about.
Okay.
And that is what you do and what you offer. Before we get into that, I just want to say this one thing. Jen came to us probably like 3 weeks after JomboEveryone.com went live. I believe her to be the first person to read it outside of myself and my family. She saw it very early. Maybe it was a Twitter thing. I don't know. But and she came. Her idea was, and I just want to put this out there. You know, maybe we can do a partnership whereby, you know, any kind of money that we would make that would, in other such instances, would be considered sponsorship money, we would instead donate straight to our conservation partners. And I couldn't have been more impressed than I was with that idea. I mean, that was, to me, a great idea. So that was, Jen came to us with that idea a long time ago, and that's what still stands here. What she does, certainly we benefit. She is our official travel partner. And I say a partner and not a sponsor because JomboEveryone.com and Radio Harambe get not a dime out of this. Any kind of money that's made off this arrangement for us would go straight to our conservation partners. I invite you to go to JomboEveryone.com, click the conservation page, and you'll read all about those partners. But having said that, Jen, I want you to talk a little bit about what you do and what you offer to people who are perhaps planning a vacation.
I'm a Disney vacation planner with Destinations in Florida Travel. We are an authorized Disney vacation planner, and we were one of the first earmarked agencies by Disney. Basically, being earmarked means that you hit a certain point with them and they start to really recognize you as an agency and as a, you know, producer of Disney vacations. Being an authorized Disney vacation planner holds a lot of weight with people when they're looking for someone they can trust to book their vacation. They want to see that, you know, Disney's backing you and that you know what you're doing. We offer, myself and the rest of the team offer not just booking your vacation and then handing you off, you know, your reservation and saying, have a great trip. We do everything. We do all of your dining reservations, your hard to get reservations. We sit on the phone, always discount watching. If like how free dining just came out this fall, I changed many guest reservations to save them. To save them money, including Mike. Saved him a lot of money on his vacation. You know, it's not about nickel and diming guests. It's about making them happy and allowing them the best experience they can have at Disney. And in this instance, when they book through your site, their a portion of their money goes to conservation. So, you know, you can't really go wrong when you're going on vacation and you're giving back to something that really matters. So it's just, I think it's just a really great thing to do.
And I believe we have a special of some kind?
We do. If a guest, Jumbo Everyone or Radio Harambe listener, books with me for any trip, either this year or next year by September 1st, I will give them a $25 gift card before they leave. To spend at any of the Animal Kingdom Lodge gift shops or restaurants or wherever they choose to spend it. And again, that's just something extra. I always do extra things for my guests. Kids get free autograph books, you know, free pin lanyards, all kinds of great stuff. And none of it is of any cost to my guests. It's all for free. So, you know, basically I do all the hard work. You just show up for your vacation and enjoy.
And how can they get in touch with you? What do we need to do here to get the ball rolling?
If they would like a quote, all quotes are free, of course. It's you can call me at 443-424-0181, or you can email me at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com.
And we'll put that stuff on the show notes, too, that you'll find on our Podbean, also on our blog. I'll put all that information on there. Now, we spoke briefly, and we probably should have been more prepared about a giveaway. But I don't think we've decided yet how we're going to do this contest, have we?
I haven't. I just have the giveaway.
Okay, so here's what you got to do. You got to stay tuned on to JomboEveryone.com. You can do the Twitter. You can follow us at JomboEveryone or at Radio Harambe. You got to make sure you follow us on there. You got to make sure you follow us on Facebook as well. And then in the very near future, Jen is going to have a giveaway. And she sent me a picture of it. And if you're an Animal Kingdom fan, this is a cool giveaway.
Really?
Yeah, Mike, you can't enter.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry.
Can I at least see the picture? I don't even know what we're talking about.
We didn't dispel one of the big Animal Kingdom myths or rumors as to why guests don't want to stay there.
What was that? Oh, that's true. That's true. Go ahead.
It's just so far from everything.
You're right.
How could we not talk about that?
That's a great catch. I didn't put it in my notes today to do it. But that is the standard silly response I always hear. I'm sure, Mike, you agree with that. We always hear this, you know, you don't want to stay there because it's so far away. So far away.
Yeah.
So
it's really far.
So I did a Google Maps search that compared it to another resort. We won't say specifically which one. It was the Boardwalk. And how the difference between that and the front gate and the transportation and ticket center. And I believe it was less than a 3 mile difference driving. Now think about how the distance your car can cover and the speed. It's just not that far away. And the other really cool thing about it is that extra 3 miles to me makes all the difference in the world, because you go outside and you go out on your balcony at night. And it is silent. You can hear the animals walking in the distance behind the trees. So, yes. Why are people so upset about 3 miles?
I think it just seems far when you're going from, you know, if you're going from the Contemporary to Animal Kingdom, it takes, 15 minutes or so.
Sure.
And I guess everything else is like a couple of turns and you're there. So it does seem a little bit longer. But it really doesn't make or break your your vacation, that extra, you know, 3 miles, even if it's 10 miles, it doesn't really make a difference. You're staying somewhere that's 47 square miles around.
Right.
So, I mean, you're kind of in a bubble to begin with. Right. But I think it's also because there's really nothing in between it. You sort of kind of get out on the road and it's just trees. And so it seems like, oh, where are we going? They're, you know, driving us out into the wilderness to go to the zoo. So, I mean, that's just my take from guests.
That's the part I like about it.
That's, some people want busy, 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 and, you know, they don't want to stay secluded. But I think if you want a quiet, calm, peaceful vacation away from the parks, but still near them, the Animal Kingdom Lodge is definitely your number one choice for that.
Jen, one more time before we go, tell people where we can get in touch with you.
You can call me at 443-424-0181 or email me at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com.
Jen, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for everything you've done to help us over the years. It's been, you know, we just came up on our 1 year anniversary for Jumbo Everyone this year, and you've really been there with us right from the beginning. I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
Back to tapers.
All righty.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Radio Harambe. For Jen Green and for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaherini, go well, and we will see you all again soon.